2 Timothy chapter 1. Be reading down about verse 3 through 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Our Father, we approach this book with reverence. We come to you with a deep appreciation of preserving this book for us to hear the word of God, even in our age. I pray today as we look at this special time each year of Memorial Day, that something be said to bless our hearts and at the same time honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul said to Timothy in verse 3, I thank God who I served from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Paul said, I'm praying for you, Timothy, and remembrance you in my prayer night and day. That means he was constantly in his prayers, and for the reason that probably he knew that Timothy had a great minister ahead of him, and it needed to be saturated with prayer. Verse 4, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the infinite faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. I'm glad God put that verse in the Bible. Because if you're going to do anything for the Lord, you're going to feel some of that affliction. If you do anything much for God, if you go along, dabble the world, and live like the world, and you can't tell the difference in a Christian, you won't get anything except what the world has to offer. But if you really do anything for the Lord, watch out. You will find some things that you never thought you'd have to face as a Christian. Verse 9, he said, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling to his own purpose and grace. That means it's part of a plan that God determined, as he said here in the latter part of this verse, before the world began. Again, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I want to speak to you this morning on these few verses, like in verse 1 and 2 and down about 1 and 5 and verse 6, and ask, this is the title of my message. What does Memorial Day mean to you? What does Memorial Day mean to you? We go through it every year. Many of us have been living a number of years in our church now for years, have gone through this, but what does it mean to you? Did you know, to most people, Memorial Day is a day meaning playing, picnicking, cookouts, extra time off from work, three-day weekends, eating, drinking, grilling out, the Indy 500, fun time, and just remembering some people if you get enough time to do that. Did you know that Memorial Day, and like all days that we have set aside for a specific reason, it seems like it turned into fun time, pleasurable time, rather than what it was set up for to begin with. Amen to that. That's where we're at today. I mean, there are all kinds of advertising already before this weekend began. As far away as from the Garden Grove of California, from Miami Beach in Florida to Sin City, Las Vegas. Some of the biggest headliners in the world are there this weekend. You know why? To attract people there for pleasure. And therefore, in the midst of pleasure, there is a recognition, maybe if you're asked, but very little recognition when it comes from the heart to be thankful for what this day was set aside for in the time it was set aside. So when I think about what they're doing, the headliners, the cookouts, the pleasure, all of these things, and the world attracting people there in the weekend to spend the weekend because they have time off, then I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, what is going to church when you have all of that available? What is going to visit a family? Or what is visiting, how can visiting a cemetery compare to what the world has to offer when it's geared to the flesh rather than to the heart? don't have a whole lot to offer. But thank God for those who say, look, when it's some things in this world is not worth the pleasure, some things of this world is worth giving attention to, because we recognize God did something in this nation to give us freedom that many worlds will, countries are left to have today. I believe that remembering others is the best thing one can do on Memorial Day. Sometimes we forget, even during Memorial Day. And I guarantee there's many this day and this weekend are in pleasurable places that will forget what this day is about. To them, it's just a fun day.
Amen,
amen, preacher. Amen. Because that's where we're at in our particular day. I read a wonderful story, and it says story of a lady up north, and she was at a train station, and the story goes that the policeman noticed this woman was sitting at her steering wheel, head down, and she was crying and laughing at the same time. That's very unusual. And he thought she had trouble and walked over and knocked on her glass door. And he said to her, is anything wrong, miss? And she said, sir, you won't believe this. She said, for 10 years, I have been driving my husband to this station to catch a train to go to work. For 10 years, every day, I've done that. And would you believe I drove here this morning, I forgot and left it home. She was crying and we laughing at the same time. Well, one thing is for sure, sometimes we forget people when we should not. 3 points on the message. Why does Memorial Day mean, what does it mean to you? First of all, to understand this, I have to understand what the scripture has to say about people. One thing I know, we must not forget people. That's what it's about. We must not forget people. God did not put us here for ourselves. He put us here for Him and others. It is always good to think and to love and to remember others. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3 through 5, Paul remembered Timothy in depth. You see in verse 3, he said, I constantly remember you in my prayers, not just once in a while, day and night. Constantly remembered you. You see in verse 4, he said, I recall your tears. Now, what those tears are about, we don't know. But he says, I recall your weeping. Maybe it was over because some things he had to face. One thing is for sure, he come from a godly family. And then you see in verse 5, he said, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, your unflinching faith, he said, that's in thee, which first dwelt in your grandmother and also in your mother. God shows us the importance of people. Did you know if you're saved this morning, if you have been born into the family of God, He put a desire when you got saved to try to reach others. And if you don't have it today, it's because you've not cultivated it. God has not slacked up on what His reason and purpose is in this life, and that is to seek and to save that which is lost due to the sin of Adam. And inheriting that nature, you see, that we have today. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, God said, let us make man in our image. He didn't say, let us make animals or birds or fish of the sea in our image. He said, let us make man in our image. And when you think about that, the most important thing in God's creation is humanity. That includes you and I. God loves people. God has never redeemed one animal. He's never redeemed one bird. He's never redeemed anything that He's made other than man. He never redeemed the angels, any of them. God loves people. And so therefore, God puts us here to remember people. The worst forgetfulness of all, especially Memorial Day, if not any other day, is to completely forget about people. God put us here to remember people. And so to do so, how do we do that? Two ways. You remember those who have deceased or died, and you remember those who are alive. And this is what we're seeing. God remembers that. So let's look at the remember of the deceased, first of all. Those who have died. Someone said, say goodbye to me personally, but do not say goodbye to the thought of me. I like that. I'd hope that each one of us will leave a legacy sometime or another, that our children and grandchildren remember us. Great-grandchildren might, and after that, you might as well forget it. You'll just be a name. Amen? Amen? Just be a name. We should remember the deceased. That includes the veterans who give their life for this country. and they deserve to be remembered. That includes family members, that includes friends, that includes loved ones. There are some things that loved ones have made an impact on our lives. Friends have made an impact. And if they have, they ought not to be forgotten. Originally, Memorial Day was instituted to remember the Civil War dead. Today, it's remembered to remember all veterans and loved ones. Many people go to their graves on this particular weekend to decorate them as a sign of their remembrance that they love them. And they appreciate what they have done for them, especially our veterans. They say that on an average day that 750 people visit the USS Arizona in Hawaii. And they say in the Memorial Day weekend, it's about 4,600 that visits it. They say also that the Vietnam War Memorial, in an average day, is about 3,000 people visits it in Washington, D.C. On Memorial Day, over 7,600 people visit it. So thank God there are those. If you've ever been to see those monuments, they're impressive. And those names are there, ladies and gentlemen, not put there fictitiously. They gave everything they had. They gave their lives. And I don't care if you go back to World War I or II or the Korea or Vietnam or what's going on today. They're still fighting for the same cause, freedom. In every country that they're fighting, they would love to have freedom. And we go there and try to help them get it, and they get it. Next thing you know, they got into something worse than they had to start with. Don't tell me that God hadn't had a hand on this country to raise it up like it is. And by the way, he raised it up. He can take it away from us, too.
Right.
He's in power even today. So people do count. We miss our loved ones. The veterans, yes. There's loved ones that had great impact on our lives. Yet Christians do not grieve, though we miss our loved ones. Christians do not grieve over loved ones like those that have no hope. Because God has told us, our loved ones have gone on, that we're going to meet them again one day. And yet we don't grieve like the world does. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and 14 says, Paul refers to people who died as falling asleep. And I'll tell you what a wonderful thing it is. Every time you go to sleep at night or daytime or siesta, whatever you do, you're looking forward to wake up. Amen? And most of us slept last night. Looked like you did anyhow. And you woke up this morning, made a choice to come to church. Thing about it is, though, when you look at death, God's the easiest thing and the best way he could describe it is like falling asleep. And isn't it a wonderful thing, folks, to know when death comes, invades our life, and we wake up in glory, it's going to be a lot different waking up here.
Amen.
Thank God we'll be delivered on the other side. Job asked in Job 14:14, if a man dies, shall he live again? Where are you going to get the answer for that? If you go to science will say something like, well, you may live again if we can get enough things together to extend life. If you go to philosophy says that you hope to live again. We certainly hope so in the future that we'll be able to live again. If you go to ethics, they say, well, you ought to live again. If you go to atheism, they say, well, you're never going to live again. So it's a fact. There's no answer in science. There's no answer when it comes to philosophy or ethics or from the atheist. Who are you going to go to? I'll tell you who. Jesus said he shall live again. In other words, he came forth from the dead. And if he can raise himself, he certainly can raise you and I. So we know that we are going to live again. When we leave this old world, would we not want our children and grandchildren to not forget us? Would we not want our loved ones not to forget us? I think that we would not. I think we'd like them to remember some things. But then what kind of legacy are we leaving? Our children been raised to see a mother and dad in turn that lived so much for the world? Maybe they were drug addicts. Maybe they were alcoholics. Maybe they had some more serious problems in this world. That's not a good legacy to leave behind. And I pray and feel sorry for people who see things like that in this life when they could be seeing another side of that with God's help. And ladies and gentlemen, we that are here today, we're still alive. We can change some things. God will help us change. Too late when we die. We could change some things if there's an error in our life that in turn is leaving a legacy that we'd rather not be remembered as rather than being remembered as in this life. So when we leave this world, I think we'd like for our children and grandchildren to, you know, remember some things about us, maybe hopefully that we will try our best to serve God. Therefore, we should remember and appreciate loved ones who have gone on before us. We should never be like the person who gave himself a party. I remember reading this years ago, and it came up back this week on this message. It went something like this. I gave a little party this afternoon at 3. 'Twas very small, 3 guests in all, just I, myself, and me. Myself ate the sandwiches while I drank the tea. And it was I who ate the pie, and then I passed the cake to me. Amen. That's kind of a selfish person, isn't it? Did you know that's about the way the world is, though? That we talk one way, but we go another way. Because Christ is in us and we're in Christ, we're supposed to think about others. God teaches us this is a reality of life. Now, I knew my dad's mother. My dad's mother died when he was 13 years old. I wanted him a thought then, amen. Not from them, maybe in God's sight. My dad's dad died when I was between 6 and 7 years old, so I don't remember too much about him. But I thank God I remember my mother's side. My mother, as mother and dad lived, after Barbara and I were married, we had a chance to come and stay in our home some. Especially one weekend, I remember them coming. My mother's dad was called Robert. My mother's mother was called, I only know his grandmother Barefoot. Lot forgot that, amen. That's what I called her at the time, Grandma Barefoot. What do you remember about her? I remember she's a little lady. My granddaddy, Barefoot's high. He's higher than I was. And she's a little low. When you saw them, they didn't match up. You wonder how they ever got together. And they were married for all their lives, for years and years. I think they died in the mid-70s, and she died in the early 80s, I think it was. What do you remember about? I remember she was one of the best cooks I remember. She was better than my mother. How many of you remember going to see Grandma and have to go through that cabinet and get those cakes and pies out and eat? You don't remember that? If you don't remember that, you've lost some good memories. She was a great cook, and when we'd go see her, we'd go to that pantry. That's the first place she had. And you know when she knew you was coming to be one bake back there somewhere or another. And then I remember also she hummed. When she worked, she hummed. She was a workaholic. She's a workaholic. She's a workaholic. But when she worked, she would hum. I don't remember what she hummed, but I know she was happy. She just hummed. Just when you hear her humming, you knew she was happy at that time. I don't know very little about my grandparents, but what little I do remember, they've been pleasant members. I know both my grandmother on my mother's side and dad's side, her dad and mother both were both saved, because I saw to that before they died. So we must not forget people. So there are those who have died. But what about those who are alive? What about those still living? We need to remember the living. As a matter of fact, I see in Revelation chapter 13 and down about Revelation 14, verse 13, the writer said, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." We need to remember the living. I heard a true story, a wonderful story, about a single mother who was raising a son. His name was Ron. Ron, at 15 years old, was in the 10th grade, and he went out for football for the first time at that age. He asked his mother to go to the first game with him, and she went. And after the game, he asked his mama, coming home, said, "What do you think about the football game tonight, mother?" And she didn't answer him. And he kept talking to her. He said, "Well, how about those 3 touchdowns we made? That won the game." She didn't say a thing. He said, "What about our defense? Boy, didn't they hold them back tonight?" Mother didn't say a thing. He said, "You remember the second half, that fumble we got? Did you see that fumble? We got that fumble, and we scored on the fumble of the football." And she did not say a thing. And she said, sat there a few minutes, and she said, "Mother, didn't you see in the football game?" And she said, "Ron," she said, "you were great. You were fantastic. I'm proud of the way you look in that football uniform. I want you to know you pulled your socks up 7 times while you were sitting there on that bench." You went to the water fountain 8 times and washed your face 2 times while you were there. I want to tell you, I really appreciate the way that number 5 and number 19 and number 90 came off the field when they do something. You walk up and pat them on the back and say, "Well, that was a great, great play. You are just great." And Ron turned to his mother and said, "Mom, how can you say I was great? I didn't even play in the game." And here's what she said. "Son, I know you didn't. But she said, I don't know anything about football. I came to see you. And I watched you. And I saw what you did. And though you were not in the game per se, you were in the game because you were encouraging others at that particular time." Now, football is fine. To some, it's fantastic. To some, it's supreme. But I'll tell you something more important than that, people. And that's what God tells us in his precious word. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 and 10, God said, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." He said, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall all the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Watch verse 10. "As we have therefore opportunity," he's telling us what we should be doing. And he says, "as we have the opportunity," and evidently there's opportunities for us that God insinuates here. "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men." Now that amazes me. There are some things that we can do with the opportunity. God gives us, cross our path to do good to all men. Then I like the next word, "especially." Watch what he said. "Unto them who are the household of faith." We should be looking to the world. The gospel is to be given to it. But he said, "especially to the household of faith." Memorial Day is not about drinking and partying. It is about people. All of us have members of deceased relatives that are good. Some may be bad, some may be otherwise. May God help us to build the best memories possible for our children and our grandchildren. What will they remember us for? What would they remember us about? I'm sure there are times that being a pastor and having to raise children, I'm sure there's times that they could not see why we had to stand like we did. But I pray that God let them see as they get older that way we stand was the right way. It was the honorable way. And if they don't see it now, they will see it one day to get to heaven, because God doesn't change. He does not change. And you hope and pray that something will be said as you deal in life, that there are things in life there's no answer to except God's answer. And it will bring the peace that passes understanding when you and I are in those positions in this life and have to make decisions. What will they remember us for? Will it be our love? Will it be kindness? Would it be faithfulness to God? Would it be some action that we did? What will they remember us for? I remember reading this poem I found. William Booth, who found the Salvation Army, wrote it years ago. It's called "Others." "Lord, help me to live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others." That's an unselfish prayer there. You know that? He said, "Help me in the work I do to ever be sincere and true, and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others." Most people pray. Who are they praying for? Self. He goes on, he said, "Let self be crucified and slain, and buried deep and all in vain, my effort to be rise again, unless we live for others. And when my work on earth is done and my new work in heaven's begun, may I forget the crown I've won while I'm thinking still of others." And then the last, most people know by heart, "Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others, that I may live like thee." I'm talking about, what does Memorial Day mean to you? May God help us never to forget our Lord on Memorial Day or any other day while we journey in this life. But when these days come like this, let's not be afraid to stop and thank God for those who left impressions on our life, but we know they will not. I know back a few years ago, we was up at the Vietnam Memorial in Washington. We had a young man in our church who got killed in Vietnam. My wife and I found his name on that plaque, on that, what do you call it, memorial? Yeah, it's wall, yeah, wall. So I found that. We shaded it out, and we have it at home now. He's the only one that I know of that I knew. But all of those hundreds and hundreds of names died for our cause, for this country. You go to some of you, World War II. You go there and see that beautiful trophy, you might say, towards those, to honor those men. It's a beautiful place. We go back, and by the way, whether you realize it or not, those who died on both sides of the Civil War deserve to be remembered. Because even whether you consider them right or wrong, they were fighting for a cause at that time which they thought was the best cause. May we never come to a place in our country again where we fight each other. May we fight always the enemy and let it be out from this country if we have to go to war. So I say to you again, may God help us to build the best memories possible for our children and our grandchildren. And when we think about this journey that we're on, may we not forget what it has cost some who have died in battle, men and women, for our freedom here in America. You're not sitting here this morning without a cost had to be paid. I'm not standing with the freedom to preach from this pulpit today without a cost that was paid back yonder somewhere or another that gave us this freedom. And you better believe it. If it wasn't for these men and women in service today, we would have right in our way things are going now, we'd have right in our own nation an insurrection just about. Thank God that we have a collection of people and a wonderful constitution and a country like ours that we're in turn. People come in and unite together to fight the enemy who tries to destroy our way of living and what God has given us in these years. And as I close the message today, I'm going to close it this way. I want you to see and remember some things about those who've died. And as you look at this morning, may God break your heart and get you along with God somewhere or another by yourself and pray today. We don't even know who these people are, but they lost loved ones. They lost loved ones. And I pray that this will be something to let us not forget this Memorial Day.